Don't forget, early voting has gotten underway in North Carolina, our primary day, not until Tuesday, March 15th, but you can head to the polls now and cast your ballots. Again, 6 early voting sites across Orange County, Board of Elections office in Hillsborough, Carrboro Town Hall, Chapel of the Cross on East Franklin Street, right next to Moorhead Planetarium. They're doing early voting kickoff event there right now. That started at 4. Seymour Center in Northern Chapel Hill, just off Homestead Road. A couple new sites, too. The New Hope Community Center on Whitfield Road in Chapel Hill, and in Eflin, the Raritan Club building on Route 70 West. Early voting continues until Saturday, March 12th. A lot of items on the ballot, a lot of items that are going to be decided in this March primary. Connect NC Bond, Board of County Commissioners races, plus make sure you're getting your votes in for your respective parties. Nominations for president, Senate, a lot of other races on the ballot, too. Again, early voting today through March 12th. Primary day is March 15th. More on that on our website, chapelborough.com. Joined now by Tom Jensen of Public Policy Polling, with the presidential race in particular turning in directions that I don't think anyone really anticipated. Tom, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Aaron. Good to be with you.
So where do things stand nationally in the race for president? I know, obviously, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, both with significant momentum boosts after Super Tuesday. Is there any chance for any other candidate at this point to get those two nominations?
Well, I think that really the key thing to watch over the next few weeks is whether Marco Rubio can get back in control in Florida, whether John Kasich can get back in control in Ohio. If Donald Trump wins one or both of their home states, that's pretty much going to wrap up the nomination really on March 15th. If he wins both those places, it's going to be pretty hard for anybody else to have a path to really stop him. But it does seem like there's now a protracted effort to sort of unite anti-Trump forces in a way that there hasn't been so far. There's a lot of money being spent to attack Trump on the airwaves in Florida and try to cut into the poll lead that Trump has had there over Rubio in hopes that Rubio might be able to get back in control. I think you'll see a similar effort in Ohio. And obviously you're seeing things like Mitt Romney's speech today where you really have a situation where Republicans are saying, we have got to stop this guy at this point. Whether it's too little too late remains to be seen, but that's sort of the picture on the Republican side. I do think on the Democratic side it's going to be pretty hard to stop Hillary Clinton at this point. We've polled most of the states that have their primaries over the next couple weeks. I would expect her to win the primary in Louisiana on Saturday by about 60 points, similar to how she did in places like Alabama and South Carolina. Michigan and Mississippi have primaries on Tuesday. I think she'll win by about 20 points in Michigan, and I think she'll win by about 60 in Mississippi. And then you get to March 15th, the day we vote. I think that the Virginia results on this Tuesday were a very good preview of what we might see in North Carolina on the Democratic side. Both states have very similar populations in terms of racial breakdown and sort of urban-rural breakdown. Hillary Clinton won Virginia by 30 points. I think she'll win by North Carolina by something similar to that. I think she'll win Florida by something similar to that, and then Ohio, Illinois, and Missouri all vote that day as well. She has the advantage in all those states, too. So Bernie Sanders' path is getting hard, as has sort of been the case all along. It's the Republican side that's interesting.
Couple of states where the polls didn't really reflect the final numbers, but other than that, most of the way through, the polls have been really accurate. Has anything really surprised you? I know one of the things that's kind of surprised me recently has been everyone sort of expected Hillary Clinton to win those southern states because there's a larger African American vote and they're tending to break for Hillary this year. But the margin of victory, I think, has been a lot bigger than a lot of people expected.
Yeah, something really interesting that sort of developed over the last 2 or 3 weeks in the Democratic race is that a lot of voters who were open to voting for Bernie Sanders but weren't totally committed to him have actually ended up deciding to vote for Hillary Clinton. And I think part of that is she sort of regained her momentum after winning in Nevada. I think when we look back after the Democratic convention in July to what the turning point really was, it'll be when Hillary Clinton won Nevada. If she'd lost that, you're really starting to sort of reach freak-out stage for her campaign. But after pulling it out there, she kind of got a second wind. But I think the other thing that's really helping Hillary Clinton is Donald Trump being so strong. I think a lot of Democratic voters who like Bernie Sanders, who find Bernie Sanders appealing, are saying, well, if the Republican nominee is going to be Trump, we really have to nominate Hillary Clinton to stop Trump, stop the specter of him becoming president. Because one thing that we've always found is on the issue, for instance, of who would make a more plausible commander of in chief, Hillary Clinton has like a 50-60 point lead over Bernie Sanders on that front. And I think that kind of thing is starting to be more important to Democratic voters as the race rolls along, because they're so concerned about Trump. Trump is, I think, really becoming real for voters in a way that maybe 6 months ago you could sort of just laugh at it, pass it off, say this is just a fad. At this point, when he's winning state after state after state, I think voters are having to reckon with it a little more carefully.
Another thing that Democratic voters are thinking about, and this is on both sides, Hillary supporters and Bernie supporters and undecideds, is the electability question. Which of the two is more electable? I'm looking at it and I'm seeing both candidates have their own strengths and their own weaknesses as far as that goes. Is there really one candidate between Hillary and Bernie who's more electable than the other? Is it pretty even there?
Well, when you sort of, if you base that on how they do in sort of head-to-head matchups against the Republicans, Clinton and Sanders' numbers are pretty similar in terms of how they match up against the Republican field. But I actually think that's a little bit misleading, because Clinton's doing just as well as Sanders, even though zillions and zillions of dollars have been spent attacking her by the Republicans, who have left Sanders completely untouched because they want to run against Sanders. So it's not surprising that Sanders is doing as well as Clinton right now, because he hasn't been scrutinized in these ads the way that Clinton has. I think what you would find in the end is that Clinton is a much more electable candidate. Pew did a big study last summer asking, would you vote for a Muslim? Would you vote for a gay person? Would you vote for an atheist? Would you vote for a socialist? That sort of thing. More people said they were unwilling to vote for a socialist than said that they were unwilling to vote for an atheist and unwilling to vote for those other sorts of groups. So I think it's a situation where Republicans would love for Bernie Sanders to win the Democratic nomination, and then they hit him with everything once they've already gotten who they sort of perceive to be the weaker opponent.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, Public Policy Polling. PublicPolicyPolling.com is the website if you want the latest numbers nationally and across various states. Talking about the Republican race now, and Mitt Romney giving his speech in Utah earlier today, and I have to say, personally, I was a little bit surprised that he didn't say anything at all about the possibility of running as an independent or running as or jumping into the race late. I was kind of actually anticipating that he was going to do something like that, and he really didn't. What would be, and kind of hard to even speculate this stage, but what might be the effect of what we've been hearing reports of, which is a third party or an independent bid from some more mainstream conservative?
Yeah, I mean, if Donald Trump is really the Republican nominee and there's really a third-party conservative candidate who's a serious person, that's going to throw the election to Hillary Clinton. There's really no doubt about that, I think. Hillary Clinton already has the lead against Donald Trump nationally, so let's say Hillary Clinton's up 47-43 nationally right now. If a third-party candidate got even 5% of that 43% Trump has, you get Clinton out to a 47-38 lead nationally. If she wins by 9 points nationally, that means she won North Carolina, means there's a good chance she won Arizona. So you basically are taking Barack Obama's strong electoral college map and adding even more states to it. But I'll tell you, Aaron, what I think was really interesting about Romney's speech today is basically what he was calling for is a brokered convention, like every political junkie's greatest fantasy is what Romney was calling for, because he doesn't endorse anybody. He says, vote for the strongest alternative to Trump in your state. He says, if you're in Ohio, vote for Kasich. If you're in Florida, vote for Rubio. Maybe if you're in somewhere like Louisiana this weekend, where I think Cruz would be the strongest alternative to Trump, you vote for Cruz. Because I think really the sort of conclusion the Republican establishment's come to at this point is, if somebody actually wins the nomination in a clean fashion, it's going to be Trump. The only way to stop Trump is to sort of have a situation where it's in limbo at the convention. And, you know, it's possible Romney's speech today was slightly self-serving, because if you get into a situation where you have a deadlock convention and you have to go to somebody who didn't actually run for president to be the nominee, I really only see two viable people that could possibly be on the Republican side. And that's either Mitt Romney or Mitt Romney's running mate from 2012, Speaker Paul Ryan. Those are the only two people who I could see possibly being able to unite the party in sort of that situation. So it's still a little fanciful to think about the possibility of that. But if Kasich does come back and win Ohio, if Rubio does come back and win Florida, you know, maybe we'll have the kind of machinations going on at a party convention that we truly haven't seen in two or three generations.
That would be absolutely nuts. What would the Trump voters do, though, at that point?
Well, I think that if Trump had the most delegates going into the convention but didn't end up getting the nomination, his voters either stay home or they vote for the Libertarian candidate Gary Johnson or something like that. I think if you have a brokered convention, Hillary Clinton's our next president, because you end up with such sort of division and hurt feelings all around on the Republican side that Clinton ends up being the beneficiary of that.
And that leads to the other thing that I was thinking about, just sort of anticipating what Mitt Romney was going to say. If there is an independent bid, whether it's Romney or somebody else, could even be Bloomberg or something like that, but some sort of more mainstream conservative Republican, not Bloomberg in that case, but someone like Romney, that would be effectively giving up on the presidency, you know, sort of ceding that to Hillary Clinton, but at least getting those mainstream Republican voters out to the polls who might otherwise stay home, and getting them to vote for Richard Burr and maybe having a better chance in the Senate. But is that something that's even a possibility?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right about that. It's an interesting dynamic. We've seen, for instance, that Mitch McConnell has said that if Trump's the nominee, he's told his Senate candidates, you can run against Trump. You can say, you know, if you're Richard Burr, if you're somebody running for the Senate in Ohio, McConnell said, it's okay. You can say that Trump's terrible if that's what you have to do to sort of save yourself. So it's really a fascinating situation. Hillary Clinton's national favorability rating is 35%. 55% of voters have an unfavorable opinion of her. If you have a minus 20 favorability rating, usually that means you have no shot of getting elected president. But with the Republican side being such a mess, I think she's looking like the bigger and bigger favorite every day, even though she's certainly not getting any more popular. So I feel like we always say it's the most fascinating election of our lifetimes, but I truly think, Aaron, we're about the same age. We could live to be 100, and we're never going to see another one like this.
Well, hopefully not, right? All right. Public policy polling is publicpolicypolling.com is the website. If you're listening, head there and get the latest numbers nationally and across various states as we get further and further into primary season. Tom Jensen, thank you so much. Before we let you go, I have to ask about Tar Heel baseball, because we had another come from behind win yesterday, even though it wasn't a ninth inning comeback. You said it last a couple of weeks ago when we talked about this is a really special baseball team.
Yeah, they have remarkable character, and it's you know, that manifests itself in winning all these close games. These are all the kinds of games that they lost in 2014 and 2015. So 6-1, a little bit of a weaker opponent this weekend in Fairfield. Of course, the reality of baseball is that anybody can lose any day, but I'm hoping that maybe the games will be a little easier and some guys can get out on the field for the first time. One thing that's been really interesting is how stable the lineup's been. Only 11 different guys have started in games so far, and we've been using a lot of the same relief pitchers over and over. So hopefully a little more breathing room this weekend and a chance to get some guys in the game.
And for people who are just joining us who don't know why I just asked you about Tar Heel baseball, Tom Jensen, in addition to being a pollster, also the Tar Heel superfan. So how is your voice? How are your hands?
Well, my voice and my hands were pretty awful after last weekend. I actually was literally in bed at 6 o'clock on Sunday night. The toll of cheerleading for three walk-off games really pretty much took all the energy out of me. I guess we're not as young as we used to be, but I'm rejuvenated and ready for another weekend.
Well, get some sleep. You might need it against Fairfield, right?
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Tom Jensen, Public Policy Polling, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.